miles of black ribbon on the lone highway. Men turn into boys on the lone highway. Rest up creeps die on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Honey, on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is Saturday, May 1st, 2021. Happy Commie Day, guys. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are living in a world where reality as we knew it is becoming a distant memory. Yeah, we've crossed the Rubicon, and I believe there's no going back to the way things were. It's not going to happen. Our masters won't allow it. And no matter how much we wish it to be, it's not going to happen, guys. Seismic shifts are happening to our world right now, and these changes are intended to be permanent. Oh, yeah. And make no mistake, the new system has been in the planning stages for, what, 20 years? Maybe longer. All that remains now is to complete the destruction of the old system. Which is what they're working on now, isn't it? Oh, yeah. And, guys, the massive reduction in population is well underway. And I believe there's no stopping it now. Somber words. And it's interesting, you know, the quotes, you know, I read from that Jacques Attali character about, you know, reducing the population and tricking people into walking willingly into the slaughterhouse using a virus or an economic collapse to achieve those goals. Well, those quotes are just going all over the internet. People are picking up on that. And, you know, it's funny. I even saw an article from Benjamin Fulford about this guy. Of course, Fulford left out the little fact that Attali is Jewish and part of the international banking cabal. Oops. And of course, you know, Fulford's trying to sell the notion that the globalist plandemic plans are imploding and that new Nuremberg trials are just around the corner, guys. Well, I certainly hope that's true, but I see no evidence to support such a belief. And of course, Fulford, you know, he's the same guy that, what was it? He was calling for the white dragon, the society ninjas. Yes, the white dragon society ninjas. They're going to begin assassinating top Illuminati members any day now. Of course, it's only been 15 years. What's the holdup, Ben? But, you know, Fulford's made his living selling this kind of stuff, hopium, they call it now, fantasy bullshit for 15 years. So why stop now? It's worked this far. And frankly, you know, I find it hard to believe anyone takes this kind of bullshit seriously. And, you know, there's even people right here pushing that same kind of fantasy, you know, claiming to have secret intel from secret military sources deep inside the deep state. The cabal is about to be taken down, guys. Trust the plan. I have secret intel. Oh, man, it's an old trick. It's an old trick. Yeah. But I have to be honest, guys, you know, over the last few days, I've had really, you know, a profound sense of sadness. I really have. Because I really just have this very strong feeling and from my inner guidance that we have crossed the point of no return now, guys. And that message is coming to me stronger than ever. I don't know, has anyone else out there been getting this kind of a message from their higher self or their or in their prayers? And, you know, this new reality they're trying to create, it really is going to revolve around masking, social distancing, and vaccines. But do we just sit back and accept this reality? I hope not. And of course, you know, part of this plan is to greatly curtail human interaction, face-to-face interaction, real-life interaction. We see the signs of it all around us. And I guess one thing that's adding to my sense of sadness, to be honest, is, you know, this idea that 145 million Americans have been vaccinated or quaccinated, as Giuseppe likes to say. And, you know, oh, that's good news. Almost half the population. Hey. But, you know, I was reading about the use of trauma to control the population and how it's really down to a science now and how they do it. And one thing that they've found over time is that trauma is much more effective when there's a pause between traumatic events. And maybe that's what where we are right now, a pause. And of course, you know, there's been a lot of speculation coming from, you know, the alternative media about these vaccines, what they're doing. A lot of speculation, you know, about somehow shedding the spiked protein or the virus through breathing. You know, I don't know if any of that's true, but if it is true, we are all in very big trouble. And, you know, it's possible that all this speculation about the vaccine is part of a, you know, a massive disinformation campaign aimed at the so-called truther movement. You know, I don't know. But it does seem that many of the doctors speaking out, they seem very sincere. And I think a lot of them are taking great personal risk saying the things that they're saying. And another thing that's coming to me is it really is time to start preparing both, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Because even if just a small portion of what they're saying is true, things are going to get real serious real quick. So really, you know, the time for indulging in, you know, fantasies, appealing fantasies like, you know, the white hats controlling the military and we're going to have secret, you know, intel coming in. Oh, I got the inside picture for you. And the Nuremberg trials are going to start any day. But come on, guys, let's look. The Nuremberg trials were really started to punish the Germans for a lot of war crimes that really didn't even happen. And, you know, I would say at the very least, the Allies were guilty of equal atrocities, probably much, much worse atrocities. So the point is the Nuremberg trials were a fraud. And putting, you know, a faith and somehow that the international Jew is going to use those tribunals now to prosecute themselves, essentially. It's fantasy, guys. And, you know, last week on the show, I went through, you know, a lot of evidence is coming forward now that maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people have their hands on the majority of levers of power within the Western world anyway. And, you know, the idea that the white hats are controlling the military, it's absurd. I mean, do you guys think that they forgot to take over the U.S. military while they were busy taking over pretty much every other institution in the Western world? Yeah, I don't think so, guys. And this, of course, this is the same military that's been involved in the fraudulent war on terror for the last 20 years. Really going back further than that. One phony war after another. And of course, you know, back in reality, the military right now is being trained on identifying white supremacists, domestic terrorists, and even the dangers of Pepe the Frog. That Pepe the Frog is dangerous, guys. Yeah, they're actually, all branches of the military are having these classes on how to identify domestic terrorists and white supremacists. Not a good sign. And of course, most of the patriotic top brass was purged under Obama. And that process is being completed now under Joey the Groper. Joey Crazy Legs Biden. What a disgrace. Yeah, a lot of fantasy. A lot of fantasy. And really, I know, gosh, guys, I think the time for make-believe is over. We need to really, you know, sober up and be strong. And it really is time to become a warrior. And, you know, Hawk even says something similar to that in one of his radio bumpers. His voice lives on, even though he's passed away. And I really wish I had the chance to meet the guy and talk with him. Because, you know, creating this very internet radio platform 10 years ago was truly visionary. I mean, just 10 years ago, the world was a much better place, but the handwriting was already on the wall. And what's interesting is, you know, he really did create a new piece of infrastructure, didn't he? From nothing. And it's a great lesson for all of us right now. We need to start creating our own infrastructure. And at least visualizing, thinking about new ways to live with minimal dependence upon this system. A system that has been completely co-opted and being used against us now more than ever, more than ever. And now this group, this cabal, the international Jew, whatever you want to call it, they're embarking on the ultimate form of power, aren't they? You know, redesigning humanity, genocide, and the culling of the population. That's what's coming. And really, I believe the time for, you know, drinking, smoking weed and all, partying and all that stuff, it's over, guys. And I'm certainly not judging anyone or telling anyone what to do, because I've done all that myself in the past. But those are the messages I'm receiving right now. I think we need to have a very clear head. Very clear head. And try and connect with the highest wisdom we can through meditation, prayer, and contemplation. And as, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz and others have pointed out, we have all been complicit in the creation of this mess that we find ourselves in. You know, through our own complicity and willingness to go along with, you know, our own addictions and the benefits that the system used to offer us. And now that is all becoming weaponized against us, isn't it? And in some ways, it's kind of exciting. We really are in uncharted waters right now, guys. Uncharted waters. And that presents a lot of possibilities. And, you know, I do believe that this government will use violence very soon to make sure their plans are enacted. You know, and it's like, you got to ask yourself, why have the governments around the world been using the military to distribute this vaccine? I mean, was that really necessary? They couldn't use the regular chain of distribution to make that happen. Of course they could have. You know, there really is an effort to get people around the world used to seeing the military functioning in daily civilian life. Not just with the vaccine, but also like, you know, every time there's a protest for the latest thug shot by the cops, we got to call out the National Guard and have a curfew. It's happened more times than it ever has in my lifetime. So yeah, why are they using the military more and more? I think the answer to that is clear. And, you know, why do you think Groper Joe is spending over $6 trillion just on special programs? You know, this doesn't even include the regular functioning of the government or the military. You know, that part of the budget's not even been addressed. This is just, you know, what now? What's it called now? The family something plan? Another $2 trillion for make sure people have childcare and other platitudes that sound nice, but of course it's the agenda is for the government to take over every aspect of the economy. So yeah, they're spending money like there's no tomorrow, aren't they? I mean, $6 trillion proposed just in the first year, not including any other functions of government. And I think it's well known within the ruling class that the days of this system we're under are numbered. And, you know, going on a spending spree like this makes perfect sense. But, you know, you can't just print more and more money as the economy slows down. That's a recipe for disaster. You don't have to be, you know, an economic genius or a economist to figure that one out. And I think this is also signaling, you know, worldwide, the end of the dollar as the use of the international trading unit. That's happening fast. China, Russia, Iran, other countries are already working around the dollar. And part of the reason it's all worked so well in the past is that we've been able to spread this inflation through monetary printing around the world because of the, you know, the petrodollar. Yeah. Well, that's coming to an end, guys. Yeah, let's see. Lily V in the chat in Revolution Radio just talked to my friend in Ecuador. She tells me they just passed a curfew only on weekends. Something, and then about a fine. I haven't heard about the fine, but yeah, they've put this ridiculous curfew on the weekends only. Okay, it's for another 2 weeks. As though somehow, well, the virus is more, you know, catchable during the weekends. It's absurd, and they're trying to stir up fears of the Brazilian variant. But on another level, what I think is happening is, you know, this president lost the election. And so he's trying to make things as bad as he can before the new president comes in. I think that's part of what's going on. And of course, you know, so much of what we're going through right now, you know, they always come back to talking about the Spanish flu of 1918. You know, that's always the sort of the model by which we're supposedly living right now. And, you know, I've done a little more digging into this so-called Spanish flu, and there's so many similarities. And of course, even the name Spanish flu was a phony term, because really, it's interesting that in World War I, Spain was neutral in World War I. So they coined the term Spanish flu to essentially punish Spain for not being part of the Great War, as they called it back then. The Great War, yes. And isn't it interesting, too, that the Spanish flu actually started in Fort Riley, Kansas. And, you know, just the other day on Jim Fetzer's Need to Know News, that's available on his BitChute channel there. Check it out. It's pretty cool. But anyway, Jim played a clip from 60 Minutes back in the 1970s, you know, back when 60 Minutes actually did some real investigative reporting, you know, which is a lost art form. There is no investigative reporting anymore at all coming from anything within the mainstream media. But anyway, in this clip from the 1970s, they talked about the swine flu, yes. And according to this clip, the swine flu originated at Fort Dixon. Now, isn't that interesting that both of these so-called pandemics originated at a military base? I mean, what are the chances, guys? I'm seeing a pattern here. And according to, you know, this clip, they took swabs, throat swabs, from some GIs at Fort Dixon and determined, we got the swine flu. And of course, they rushed to make a vaccine back then, too. And 45 million people apparently took it. And they featured one woman that was partially paralyzed from the vaccine, something you'd never see nowadays on television. A very nice woman who had taken her predicament with a lot of courage. And anyway, 45 million people supposedly took that vaccine. And of course, you have to wonder, you know, beyond just the people that were paralyzed and messed up, you know, immediately from it. And there was lots of cases of that. Thousands. Tens of thousands. You have to wonder how many, you know, people developed cancer 10 or 20 years later after taking that vaccine. I mean, that's really around the time where cancer started to become much more prevalent in our society. It was the 1970s. You know, in the 50s, 40s, and 50s, cancer was very rare. And in the 60s as well. It was really in the 70s where cancer really started to become part of the national, you know, dialogue or the national consciousness, right? Yeah, so, and then of course, this the Spanish flu is connected to vaccines as well, just like what we're going through now. And, you know, we'll see if all this talk about the vaccines creating a much worse version of this disease is true or not. We'll know soon. Right now, it's a speculation, but it is certainly possible. But apparently, you know, the Rockefeller Institute was involved in vaccinating World War I soldiers, you know, as they went off to war. And they were apparently given 14 to 25 experimental vaccines within a few days. Imagine just lining up and getting like 14 injections in a couple of days. It's amazing how much we have trusted, you know, the elite, the medical system, the entire system. I mean, lining up to get a vaccine before you go off to fight a war that was incredibly unpopular in the United States, hugely unpopular, you know, and Wilson actually put journalists in jail He had anti-war activists thrown in jail. Of course, that's all been expunged from history for the most part. But World War I was not a popular war by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you know, why should some farm boy go fight a war in Europe that didn't even make any sense? All because people trusted the experts and the politicians. But then as the soldiers started to come home when the war ended, the U.S. government started spreading a campaign of fear, saying that the soldiers were going to pass this new disease off to civilians. Okay, so when they returned, many civilians started getting the vaccine as well. Any of this sound familiar? I mean, this is really a pattern, a template. And, you know, the Rockefellers are in the middle of this one, too, with the lockstep documents and working with the Gates Foundation. It's all the same cast of characters, isn't it? And, you know, another interesting thing from that clip from 60 Minutes, they had a little clip of President Ford speaking, you know, urging everyone to get the vaccine. Sound familiar? And President Ford was saying that 20 million people died as the result of the Spanish flu. 20 million. But now the number they say that's accepted by the experts is 50 million. So between President Ford and today, they found 30 million new casualties. And it just shows you can't believe any of the statistics that they tell us today or back then. I don't even see how they could have calculated those statistics on the heels of the First World War, when untold numbers of people were killed. I don't see how they came up with those statistics. I don't buy them for a minute. But anyway, they convinced millions of citizens to take these experimental vaccines when the soldiers came home. So it's incredible, the similarities here. And another interesting little thing here is a lot of the soldiers that took the vaccines, you know, thousands of them died within days of getting these shots. And their families were sent letters saying that their family members had been killed in action. Killed in action. Amazing. And there's a lot of evidence that the people that died actually died from bacterial meningitis. The vaccine, one of the vaccines that was given was a type of bacterial meningitis. And that's interesting. It wasn't a virus at all. A bacteria. So this raises a lot of questions about what's happening now. And we should be very, very cautious in believing a damn thing we're told, both in statistics and even the cause of what's going on now. We don't even know if it really is a virus or a bacteria or some kind of blood infection or even how it's being spread. Yeah, so that's just food for thought. A lot of similarities. And, you know, the Spanish flu is always sort of raised as, well, you know, 50 million people died in that one. So just remember that, everyone. You know, be afraid and roll up your sleeve and take that jab. Oh, yeah, someone in the chat there in Revolution Radio, Morpheus, is posting that video of Fulford interviewing David Rockefeller. That's how Fulford really got himself on the map, is he interviewed David Rockefeller in a hotel room, because at the time, Fulford had just finished working for, a Forbes magazine, I believe it was. Yeah. And so he essentially ambushed David Rockefeller, you know, in a hotel room interview. Pretty interesting, but he kind of used that as a springboard to have 15 years of bullshit and white dragon society ninjas assassinating the Illuminati members. Oh, yeah, baby. Makes a good story anyway. Okay, well, that said, I would like to bring on my co-host and my main man, Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
This is the Revolution Radio Fact Checker. I've got to point out a few errors in your presentation. No, I'm just kidding. You mentioned two things that you might want to amend, though. Is first, when you were talking about, excellent intro, by the way, when you mentioned pausing operant conditioning, that's not the most powerful form. It's when you have intermittent trauma, so the patient never knows when the next electric shock or the next whatever is coming, and that causes untold levels of anxiety and eventually psychological collapse. So it's intermittent, not paused.
Yeah, you're right. That's you're saying it better than I did. Yes, a pause and intermittent use of trauma. You're right. Absolutely. That's a better way of saying it. But yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Yes.
And secondly, a point of information on cancer in the 70s, in large part, two reasons. First was the massive amount of chemicals being introduced into the environment. And secondly, since Dow in the 40s. And secondly, and more importantly, was Jonas Salk, the Hebrew who was going to cure polio, ran his vaccine through a cancerous monkey kidney, and he literally infected tens, if not hundreds of millions of people worldwide with cancer. They got their shots in the 50s and 60s, and the cancers really started exploding in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, because these cancers are long-term. They take a long time to manifest. So, yeah, something that happened in the 50s would manifest by the 70s. Absolutely. Right. But then my point stands that in the 70s, they injected people with the swine flu. And then how many cancers came as the result of that? They're saying 45 million people got the vaccine.
Right. And that would have probably began to manifest in the 80s and 90s. It always takes a while with the vaccinations to actually develop the cancer.
Gives the vaccination companies plausible deniability. Let's get Chris Weinert in here too.
Brutal Honesty.
Co-host. Brutal Honesty. What's up, man? How are you?
How's it going, fellas? Great intro there, Dave. Some amazing stuff. You think about the accessorization and monopolization of this healthcare industry, quote unquote. The same people that caused all these illnesses are 10, 20, 30 years later creating an entire facet of industry over selling the accessories necessary to mitigate these circumstances. So I bet 20 years from now, they're going to be selling some sort of vaccine injury therapy type thing, something like that service that people can afford to pay. It will be allowed to live. Those that can't will suffer and maybe die. And that's their plan for us. It seems to be like making an arcade game type shopping thing through Amazon. And, the video game culture tuned us into this. And I think it's conditioning. So, yeah, I think something's going on there. Also, what you're saying about the Spanish flu, I think that you're making a great point. I think they try to play down the carnage that they caused from World War I, as well as from these outbreaks and from the vaccination programs. Most of the disease that followed, most of the deaths that followed, the vaccines themselves, not the actual other way around. So, yeah, this is truly something that needs to be talked about, because I think that's really responsible for the second wave that Bill Gates has been snickering about for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And Bill Gates, do you know that I believe his ancestor was probably one of the first governors of Virginia in the Virginia Company back in the 1600s? And I think that these guys are all part of a royal family that are, part of the colonies and have been playing this whole revolution, everything society, the Cincinnati theater, this Patriot theater, just to use the American people, their revenue to fund this military and use the military to defend their assets and their investments. And ultimately, I think the people have caught on. And usually when that happens, they shift to another empire and then turn that empire against the previous one. So we're being used just like they use the Spanish or the French or the English or the Chinese or the Russians. So ultimately, I think we really got to all come together against this group of people that are trying to vaccinate us going back to the 1600s. If you get into like the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Pierreponts, you know, through the Ivy League schools, Yale, Harvard, all these guys, they're all from the same families as well. And this goes back to Lady Montague Pierrepont, you know, back in the 1600s, trying to run these vaccination programs on through time. So there's a long history of these guys literally not only trying to play God with other people, but experimenting with these mutant chimera cocktails on human subjects, poor people, citizens. That is literally what I think the word citizen means to them, is like a guinea pig or a lab subject. And sadly, we're paying for this, funding this, the Frankenstein experimentation, and we're all living in their Skinner box. And unless we really all come together and get the hell out of it, I think we're going to have really a dismal future awaiting us. So yeah, I think another thing that happened with World War One is they ran off the silver standard and crashed the Bradbury pound. The British Empire was flat broke, and they bankrupted that empire and had to transition to the next ones. So that's really what the Russian Revolution was about. This is like 1918, you know, they owed like half their GDP to China and the other half to India, and they didn't have the silver to pay for it. So they had to go to a fiat system just like they did in America. And ultimately America bailed them out, not only financially, but militarily with World War One. And that's when you see the Series E war bond come into place. So these guys have been using every citizen around the world to fulfill this type of Leviathan blueprint. And it is really the quote unquote necessary evil and quote unquote the greater good that you see in many cases. So we really need to recognize who's behind most of these things we're looking at, because if you don't look into these things, you're going to end up suffering.
Well, yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said there for sure. But I do think Bill Gates is a crypto Jew. I believe him to be a crypto Jew. If you look at his father, the guy looks as Jewish can be. So does his mother.
And it's the thing, Dave. That's an exact same thing. If you look at these guys, these are guys that took over London through the parliament, absolutely, in the 1500s and 1600s, without question, out of Amsterdam. Yes, you're absolutely right. They ran the merchant guilds, without question. Yeah, Gates is one of those, without question.
Yeah. Giuseppe, go ahead.
I say it all the time. I think the royals are crypto Jews.
Oh, yeah. And they've intermarried, certainly, within Jewish bloodlines as well. So, yeah, no question.
Yeah, House of Lords are all their peerage, all their bloodline, basically. So, yeah, you're looking, that's pretty much what you're seeing.
Go ahead, Giuseppe.
I think if you gave him a DNA test, I think that's what would come out.
Yeah, let's give him well, we need to check to see if they're shape-shifting reptilians, too.
Sure.
Giuseppe, go ahead, man.
You know, one thing that really bothers me about today is the vile Hidden Hand, the vile Phoenicians, the vile internationalist Jew has usurped workers to mean communists. I despise Jew commies. I champion workers of the world, and I wish there was no connection between the vile parasitic communists and the decent working people of this planet.
Yeah, show me a Jew that's actually done an honest day's worth of work.
Exactly.
I mean, the last time they had to do that was in the 30s, and you still hear them complaining. And before that was probably Babylon. So, man, I don't think these guys have really done too much in terms of manual labor. But I tell you, they've certainly exploited and calculated its value and have really undermined it and have delivered wage stagflation through, like, economic sorcery and fiat currency. And I think they're trying to put this economic sorcery and this next step debt slavery on through crypto. And that's really what they're trying to bring in, is a next reset. Every time you see one of these major wars, it's an economic reset that they're trying to deliver in. And that's really the war is a cover fire for this type of thing.
Well, I'll tell you, last night I was listening before I went to bed. I was listening to the Roundtable, and they had a great one with Thomas the Mad Painter, Mr. Rowe, Bruce McDonald, the former morning host, and Chicago Brew. And they were... And Bruce was like, you know, crypto is a scam, man. It's a banker scam, and nobody disagreed. But Roe had who is just such a great guest, and love listening to him anytime. He said, "Look, I agree with you, but if you can make some money in the short term, do it." And so that's really it. You know, it is a scam. Crypto's leading into the whole digital currency cashless society, where they implement the Chinese social credit horseshit. But, you know, in the short term, if you can ride a pony that you bet $2 and you make $2,000, do it, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's the next Ponzi scheme, you know?
Right.
They're alluring people in, away from gold and silver.
The whole, goal of a Ponzi is you get in early and ride the pyramid as it grows. So, that, you know, that's the deal.
Yeah, I lack the ethical flexibility to participate in a Ponzi scheme. That's like a greater fool thing. I try to stay away from that. It's bad karma.
Ethical flexibility. That's pretty good. I like that. Yeah, we're ethically flexible. We're not immoral.
I have to say that I am more than willing to fleece boobs. So if I knew I was getting into a Ponzi scheme early, I would absolutely do it, because
I don't know, the way I see it, you might as well be hawking vaccines then.
No, I think
I don't know. Maybe a bad connection.
Apples,
but yeah,
and
you know what I mean.
There, apples.
It's a slippery
oranges.
Slope. Yeah, it's a slippery slope. It's still rotten apples.
It is. Right. All of this stuff is a slippery slope, and that's why. You know, one thing I was trying to point out earlier is we really have to work on reconnecting with spirit through prayer and meditation and contemplation, because this is ultimately a spiritual battle. And I think things are going to get much, much worse, quite frankly, if just a small percentage of what these doctors are saying about the vaccine is true, which I don't know. I hope it's not true, but you know, these doctors, most of them seem to be very sincere, and a lot of them are actually taking great personal risk, you know, both physically and financially, to be speaking out the way they are.
Right. You know, Dave, my medicine, 6,000-year-old natural medicine, complete medical system, treats body, mind, and spirit, is essentially energetic medicine, right? And in addition to meditation, I highly recommend to people, because I've been hearing literally probably 10,000 times, oh, I'd like to try acupuncture, but I don't like those needles. Oh, they hurt. Which for some people, it's nutty. Some people are so sensitive. The little needle, which is thinner than human hair, feels like I'm putting a tent spike in them. And there are some people who are wired that way. I've seen it thousands of times. But, you know, you don't have to get acupuncture to implement energetic medicine to move your body's energy and to strengthen your energetic immune system, which in Oriental medicine is called the Wei Qi, W-E-I-Q-I, Wei Qi. And the way to do it is Tai Chi and Qi Gong. I mean, literally, I do it every day, just a small little routine, you know, and especially when the weather's nice, you go out, take your shoes off, stand in some grass or what have you, and do like a 5 to 10 minute Qigong routine only, or Qigong is medical Tai Chi, I should interject that, and really, you know, deep breathe, move your energy, and you can just feel it flow through your whole body once you've been doing it for a while. And everyone should do that in addition to meditation, because that is a practical mechanism that strengthens your body's energy and especially enforces your energetic immune protection, which is the Wei Qi.
Well, I think a lot of people that are all freaked out about acupuncture, frankly, it's mental. I don't think it hurts at all. I've had it done many times. And the best thing for someone like that is don't look at the needles. Just close your eyes while the treatment's being given. You'll be better off.
Yeah, good point. That's an excellent point.
Yeah, there's definitely an alternative medicine that's been ignored or completely abused and beaten down by the Rockefeller Board of Medicine. It's like competition's a sin, and any competition to this racket is pretty much ridiculed and lambasted by the mainstream media, who has 65% of their ad revenue coming in from Big Pharma. So they have a strong vested interest in terms of hawking, marketing the next Wall Street innovation. And there's a lot of money behind this from other places, trust funds, NGOs. I bet there's a good dozen Rockefeller trusts alone that are funding the things we're seeing right now, whether it's the domestic instability or the vaccine push or the outbreak itself and the virus that's being manufactured. Like Dave brought up, most of these come out of military bases, and most of these military infrastructures and contractors have been set up as divisions through Wall Street, as agents of London. And we really do the dirty work and the bidding for the British Empire or this group or this cabal, as you've seen. So I think the world's waking up to that. And ultimately, I don't think it's fair for the United States citizens to be deceived into holding the bag or the collective guilt or the political capital punishment for these misdeeds in the face of what's been thrown at us. I think these guys have run a tremendous theater and a distraction. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen it. And in all fairness, I think now we are. And I think it's up to us to really decide whether we want to do something about it.
Giuseppe, or actually both you guys, in your reading of, you know, literature and stuff, have you seen anyone that's really tried to go through and make correlations between, you know, the, say, the Salk vaccine, the swine flu vaccine, all the vaccines that were given to the Gulf War veterans? Has anyone made a definite correlation between these vaccines and cancer that can be proved in some kind of quantifiable way? Because, you know, the evidence is substantial in a lot of ways, but I haven't seen anyone, you know, really put it together into a cohesive form.
You're probably looking at it, really, to be honest with you, man. I mean, between Holly and myself, maybe a few others, there's not many people out there that do this. And it's certainly not my field of expertise. I'm not an expert in this at all, but I've been paying attention and I know what we're dealing with and the moral level of the people that are doing what they're doing to us. So I kind of have a little bit of a jump on the rest of the curve. But yeah, I think that really there hasn't been anything like that, because any time that somebody does this, they'll either be wiped out or, you know, dismantled by their apparatus, their guardians, their gatekeepers, you know.
Well,
I spend a lot of money to make sure they control the narrative.
I can recommend some books to you. Charlene and Ty Bollinger have done some excellent research. They have I forget what the title is, Medical Myths of the Medical Mafia, something like that. And they also have a book about cancer, and they've done some great research tying that together. If you go and look at Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's site, Vaxter, VAXXTER.com, she's done 40 years of that kind of research and correlation, and she has some excellent studies. There's another doctor, Dr. Barbara Lowe, with National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, that she has some excellent studies. And there are about another dozen medical doctor-level researchers who have really done some great work. So there's some excellent, well-researched, well-documented books if you look for them.
Yeah, because it seems to me that, you know, the 1930s, 1940s, cancer was quite rare. And, of course, there's another factor here, too, all the toxic chemicals that have been deliberately put into food and healthcare, beauty care products, skin care products, plastics, and all that. But you just have to wonder how much cancer would there really be in the world if we weren't so heavily vaccinated? I mean, that's something I think about a lot.
You know, I think if you break it down into a percentages, probably 50 to 60% is caused by vaccines. Probably 30% is by the poisons and the toxins in the environment. And then 20% is by the electromagnetic radiation these days, especially. You know, people are using Wi-Fi and all this stuff that's not good for the body. So that's the terrible trio right there that's causing the massive cancer.
Right. And the
military industrial complex and DARPA have developed most of these innovations and most of these biowarfare weapons under the pretenses of the Cold War or national defense, right?
Right.
And then now they're being utilized against their own citizenry for the sake of controlling them into this extortion racket or whatever this is, or this operating system they're trying to jab us with, whatever.
Yeah, innovations. Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
You know, maybe I'd modify
like that, you know?
Yeah. And of course the book, Dr. Mary's Monkey, is a great book. I've read that book, and that really details, you know, how the polio vaccine was accidentally inculcated with.
Right. That was from the early 60s,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. She was talking about from the early, late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. They were talking about these things like through the CIA and stuff. Yeah. Gottlieb and them guys have really come up with some terrible stuff, man. These guys really need to be addressed as the war criminals they are, because they've really created much of what you're seeing now.
Yeah. Well, and the Salk vaccine was what had cancer in it too, accidentally.
Right.
Sure. I'm talking like even the psychedelic wars and the anti-war movement, how they turned into the sex, drug, and rock and roll thing, the tune in, drop in, check out Timothy Leary stuff. You know, this was a Laurel Canyon operation. This is the military working with the bankers and foreign investors trying to really break down the moral fiber of America, trying to divide the smallest tribe on earth, the family, into pieces through the Steinem revolutions and the feminism.
Exactly, I mean,
the ultra-feminist stuff. This has been a complete weaponization of generations against generations, women against men. And until you see it as such and see who's behind it, you're really not going to have a chance fighting on this battlefield.
Yeah, yeah. There's an interesting discussion in the chat room on the StreamYard feed, too, about you can't dismiss ionizing radiation exposure as well. I agree. That's a third factor, the trifecta here of toxicity driving cancers. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just add more suspects, you know, and then they get away from it, you know, because they say, oh, it could be somebody else. You can't prove it's me. You know, that's like really, they got like 10 different externalities that are soft killing us all at once.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, like 5G, GMOs, vaccines, chemtrails, nanofluorides, fracking ponds, you know, just this whole economic sorcery is another thing. The stress from that will kill you alone.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, of course, now Mer Bailey just pointed out, you know, nuclear radiation as well. That's another factor. And isn't it interesting how in the new Green Deal, nuclear energy is considered a green energy source, guys? Can you believe that?
Did you see
Green Juice Deal?
Did you see this week that, well, Scorpio, you did, because we saw it on Jim Fetzer's Wednesday when we were the commentators on Need to Know, that that absolute dipshit John Kerry said the goal is to eliminate all carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's like, okay, Brainiac, that will also eliminate all life on Earth, so knock yourself out.
Yeah, they haven't even suggested the possibility of like planting more trees or like committing this in any sort of biological manner. These have all been like ominous, ambiguous jargon buzzwords, you know, the feel-good stories that have no pragmatic deliverance whatsoever. They are absolutely just there to fascinate the obtuse into thinking this is some sort of a moral or ethical battle that they are somehow winning, when the people that are dooming them are the ones leading the charge in this so-called green revolution in the first.
Well, and you know, they have the technology now to we could be reforesting desert areas. You could be irrigating desert areas with endless water from both primary water sources, and then, you know, supposedly the sea levels are going to be rising, and desalinization has become much easier than it ever was with some new technologies. They could be building massive water pipelines and foresting deserts with trees, food. I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff if they wanted to. There's so many solutions, but they don't want solutions. They have this agenda, and they want to just shoehorn everything into it no matter what. Wow, we're already at the top of the hour.
Instead, they're funding domestic instability operations and terrorizing the people off their own homeland.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, slowly Jaded's saying they're testing these CO2 vacuums in California. That just looks like a charade to me. I don't see how they'd have to build, you know, 10 million of those to make any input on the, given the size the Earth really is. But
well, it's the green, we're at the top of the hour,
and we're going to be joined by, hopefully joined by, Sean David Morton here coming up in just a few minutes. A guy that people here at Revolution Radio are familiar with, and hopefully he'll be coming on. If not, we're going to do some kind of a roundtable discussion. So anyway, I don't know. We got just a couple of seconds left here. What's your final thoughts before we hit the top of the hour, guys?
The madness of the Green New Steel. It's all a scam for more wealth transfer and power.
That's right. And necessitates a world government, too.
Right.
Okay, there we go. Top of the hour. We'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio, hour number two. Well, it looks like Sean David Morton is unavailable. You know, I know he's going through some health problems fairly serious ones. So we'll see. Maybe he can come on and join us a bit later. But in the meantime, I think we're going to go on with Plan B here and maybe sort of get like a roundtable discussion going for the next couple of hours. And I don't know, Giuseppe, is there anything you want to kick the top of the hour off with?
Well, let's see.
Or Chris.
Chris. Jump in, Chris.
You want to go? Yeah, I can. I got some stuff here. Yeah, I was looking into like the Yuan dynasty in China and how the Mongols pretty much were destroyed from within by adopting a paper currency, and how it was really dissociated from the value of gold and silver, and it led to the inflation that crashed their economy and therefore their empire. And I see that this is a systematic operation in most empires, whether the Spanish, the French, the English, the American. And I see the same group of people, the same bloodlines behind it, who infiltrate and control not only the trade, but the military, and in many cases, the political theater. So, yeah, I think this is not a new thing. I think that ultimately just the new innovations by which they achieve these goals are new things that we're seeing. So it's the same song and dance, the same formula going over and over again. It's the formula of empire. And I think that really we're starting to see through it now. And ultimately, we got to make sure that moving forward, that these people are not controlling the dialogue as they always have in the past. So I think that's important to state that. And anywhere you want to take mm-hmm. the conversation, it's fine with me.
Well, you know, what's interesting about what you're saying is, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, China is this big threat. It seems to me that, you know, China was created from the very beginning, even since the, you know, inception of the communist revolution. Weapons were sent to China by America to help ensure the victory of the Chinese communists, even though Chiang Kai-shek was an ally of America. And then, of course, we've built up the economy of China tremendously from the inside by the so-called deep state. And it really started in earnest during the Clinton era, where they pretty much had everything for sale for the Chinese. You know, and here we are now thinking, oh, the Chinese are this big threat. And it does seem like they're shifting empires, going back to your concept here, Chris. It does seem like they're shifting empires, and they've determined that the Chinese system is a superior system in terms of controlling the populace.
Yeah, until it reaches the brick wall and humanity fights back finally. And then, of course, they'll crash the Chinese and use them the same way they use the Japanese. And they'll decimate the hell out of them the same way they did to the Japanese, and then enslave them for another, what, four or five generations under the pretense of this political guilt that was pretty much an action that was caused from their self-defense in resisting this hostile takeover. So, yeah, I think that that's really a thing, you know, where anytime the empire fights back or the people within the empire fight back against these people, then they hang out that empire and make sure they really hammer it hard. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just letting you know what might be coming, but I think it's worth it to fight these guys.
Oh yeah, we have no choice now. And also, yeah, I just want to put it out there, anyone that might want to join in our discussion, you can just reach me through Skype, Dolphin_Dave. I got a lot of people on my contacts there. Anyone that wants to jump in,
Or we can send them the video link too, Dave, if we want. You have that link too in your Skype, if they want to come on the video.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good idea. Just put the StreamYard link in, you mean?
Dave is, you know, in wrestling, they have like the Montreal Screwjob and many other things they talk about, where certain wrestlers have gone off the kayfabe script and then have been blacklisted and really been hammered too. Like when they violate the gentleman's agreement and target somebody within the group, like, you know, an insider, they really, all the other insiders go after them and really make sure that kind of shit never happens. They, it's like a jackal theory or something, where they turn in their own kind hardest and go after them. And it's part of this Judeo-Masonic militant order that has been put on and has been called by just about every name and departmentalized by every name you can imagine. But it all works the same goal, which is what we're seeing now. They're all in on it together. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Years ago, I knew this guy at the gym I worked out that used to be – he was a professional wrestler. He was involved in all that back in the 80s. And the way he put it to me, he said, you know, it is all scripted, but he said, every now and then you get two guys in the ring that really don't like each other in real life, oh, and yeah, then shit starts to happen. That's the way he put it.
like Hammer Valentine and Rowdy Piper, you know, like they're hitting each other hard. Like he blew Piper's ear out and he had a big cauliflower thing. Yeah, Georgie Animal Steel was a high school football coach right down the street from us. So my mom went to a high school where the guy, he was her gym teacher in high school. So like they knew them for a long, long time. So I got to hear some stories from him and man, some amazing stuff this guy had to talk about.
Oh man, okay. He had the greatest shtick with being the animal where he go Fuji, Fuji.
Yeah,
man.
And he would eat the turnbuckle.
Right,
just crazy stuff. But yeah, he was a football, high school football coach, varsity football coach too. So like he was under George Myers when he was not a WWE character or whatever. So it was totally like the Alex Jones persona, you know, to see the difference between reality and the character they play, you know.
You know, there's an interesting discussion happening in the StreamYard chat too about Dane Wigington and, you know, geoengineering, and a lot of people are suspicious of him. And I've always found it odd how he is the sort of go-to guy about everything about geoengineering, but he totally buys into the global warming hysteria. And his story is that, you know, well, they had to start doing chemical spraying to stop global warming. They had no choice. But now it's all spiraling out of control. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on old Dane Wigington?
Sheepdog.
He, who was it that said the other? Kevin McCarron made an interesting point that some of these people rocket to the top of YouTube and are never struck down, and he's whereas people telling the truth like us and others, you know, wallow with low numbers or get locked out, like we're pretty much in permanent YouTube jail, and he's never gotten slapped in any way, so that tells you something.
Yeah, I'm persona gratin. Like Google won't even let me share videos. YouTube won't let me access stuff or share anything, comment, sign in, none of that stuff, man. So, yeah, they go out of their way to hammer people beyond just taking your channel down if you really rattle the cage and call these bastards out. Yeah, without question. If you're not an insider, they go after you. Like, I'm blacklisted. I know I can't find a job. I've been looking for, like, 3 years. I will never work in this city again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got the mechanic is joining us here on our roundtable discussion, the master of the late night roundtable and anti-mask activist and freedom fighter, the mechanic. How are you, sir?
Yeah, gentlemen, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I also do an afternoon show on Thursdays, 1 o'clock. I tell you what, I did a show called Geoengineering, Pathogenic Priming, and what else? I think I'm trying to remember the rest of the topic, but that title, right, led into, so I covered geoengineering first. I was going over all the existing patents. It's funny you gentlemen talk about this now. I'm going to share my screen with you, and you'll be able to see me here. Actually, you're already sharing, so, but I have a whole list if you want to.
Well, do you want to come on through video, mechanic?
Let's see. I could. Let me make some arrangements over here. I'll be right back with you.
Okay, I'm going to drop you off of Skype, and we'll get you on. I'll give you the StreamYard link.
To come just on the StreamYard? All right.
Yeah,
send that StreamYard
send
link right to Skype.
Now.
All
right. Okay.
So Mer Bailey made an excellent point that Dane Wiggy worked for Bechtel 30 years. There you go.
That's right. He did.
Just like what's his
sheepdog.
Who's that general who used to be head of the Defense Intelligence Agency? Oh, Flynn. Flynn now, all of a sudden, you know, the pro wrestling like script with Obama that he left the traitor Obama, and now he's working for the Patriots. I mean, come on. It's
babyface turns heel, heel turns babyface.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this is pure shoots here.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting too. You know, Dane Wigington is kind of like the Alex Jones of chemtrailing. You know, there is no one else that's on the scene the way he is, and his adamant support for the global warming narrative to me has always been very suspicious. And yes, that's right. He did work for Bechtel for 30 years. Mayor Bailey rarely disappoints. That's absolutely true. And, you know, Bechtel is one of those companies that's deeply connected to the highest level of the military industrial complex. Bechtel is a deep state operation all the way. And Bechtel has many ties to the Bohemian Grove as well. All of their top executives are members. And so that's another interesting connection with Bechtel. Bechtel's been involved in all kinds of nefarious stuff.
Yeah, they're like Dynacor or EG&G or some of these major companies that handle these super top secret or even like contractor clearance type operations. Some murky waters like the Lockheed stuff. Yeah, definitely deep state all day. And a lot of these operations are like in multiple continents. So like they tie these things together under the cover fire of CIA destabilization operations like Condor or Gladio B or many of these things throughout time. So these guys have a systematic departmentalized operation under the National Security Act and under the National Security Councils. That's why most of these NSC advisors really supersede the president in terms of briefings as well, and even directing foreign policy. So, I mean, this is really the structure that's been put in under this new UN charter post-World War II.
Okay, well, we got Mechanic back with us.
In terms of democracy or government or constitution, any of this stuff in the face of this other stuff that supersedes it, supposedly. So
right.
We sort this out or, you know, forever we're going to pay the price for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got the Mechanic back with us and he's got his gear on and we've got some screen sharing happening. So let's see your evidence, Mechanic. This looks good.
We just don't
see it. Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, this right here was the beginning of the show. And then I went into the pathogenic priming. I got a strike.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
I got a strike. Yes, sir. Unlike the fourth channel. It's ridiculous. I started breaking down.
Did they say what the strike was for?
Medical misinformation.
Ah, yes.
Shocker.
Truth.
Yeah, I eat the truth, Chris. Absolutely. Absolutely. So then I just went in. I did an hour on this right here. All these pads, I broke every one of the most important ones down, exposed them. And these all exist. I've been saying this for more than 20 years. Now, there's a correlation here. If you look in depth at these links, all right, and I will drop the link into your chat here in the private chat, and then you guys can do what you want with it. But these links, they have a common denominator, no pun intended. Look at the dates. If you look at them, within 4 to 5 years after World War II was over, what do we know about what happened then, right? Nazi scientists, they come over to the United States on a contract in lieu of penitentiary or death. They come to the United States and they share all their scientific knowledge with the U.S. government. Then, therefore, the U.S. government decides what they want to do with it, how much they want to share, etc. They got all the tech. And then all of a sudden, 4 to 5 years later, all kinds of weather technology starts coming out. Manipulation technology starts coming out. It's all copyrighted and patent, folks. But no, the last 25 years or so, 20 years, your boy the Mechanic's been the big goof in the room. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, interesting. And it's interesting how far back those patents go. And really, they began experimenting it in earnest, really in the 1930s. By the 1950s, they had actually made some real progress. And there's even a clip of LBJ, President Johnson, talking about how in the future, he who controls the weather will rule the world. And that was like in 1967 that he said that.
Yeah, you can win wars without firing a shot and then lend the optic of being a benevolent occupying force when you're truly putting in a hostile takeover or something like this. So, yeah, this is something that no matter how often you cite the patents, the publications of the very culprits, somehow or another, the innocent sheeple refuse to acknowledge this as even a possibility, let alone a reality. It's an extraordinary circumstance that I can't quite explain. You guys got any ideas on that or comments?
I do.
Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I'll tell you what. I believe that this, and we can use the word engineered here because it's so fitting. I believe that once they realized they had the capability to control the weather on a global scale, all right, again, the term global, highly subjective. On a global scale, I think they understood it was like a light bulb for them. You mean we can now control the weather all around the world? That means we can also control every narrative around the world, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Every narrative around the world, right? So the weather's coming from this global warming, right? Here we'll create, we'll block out the sun in certain parts of the country. We'll trap the heat in. We'll keep the storms out. We'll create certain types of humidity where things won't grow and where they will in other countries. Just anomalies that would not take place in an organic system, right? And then they developed the narrative over a period of time. And now here we are with the fires.
Even the plague too, Mechanic. You can bring plague in with this too.
Oh, 100%. 100%. All of it's a part. Well, we got the GMO mosquitoes off the coast of Florida.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mechanic,
our guy Bill Gates. Does anybody recall voting on this? Did anybody vote on this? Did the people get a choice in this? I don't think so.
Wasn't it a rider in the TPP or something? I mean, Jesus Christ, or the Patriot Act? Jesus Christ.
Mechanic, have you looked into any research on the idea that not only can the United States control the weather, but most likely so can China, probably so can Russia, maybe even India. And are there ever like competing controlled weather systems and somebody beats the other one? Has there been any way to look into stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I got a story for you on that. That's funny you asked me. Let me grab the still. Check this out. Volkswagen dealership. All right. Volkswagen dealership, they got all their cars outside, several thousand. No warning. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, massive hailstorm just pummels the entire parking lot. Just nails, annihilates every car in the parking lot. Boom, 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 boom. Massive hailstorm, right? All right, so there's just millions and millions of dollars worth of damage to all the cars. Just prior to this incident, they were found guilty of fudging their emissions records on their vehicles.
Hey, Mechanic, another thing you can look into is insurance claims, things like put options, think of stuff like that. How many times they've used the Wall Street instruments to profit immensely from this disaster capitalism as well.
If we're going to talk about that, we can't go astray from how they capitalize on these type of events. So let's take a look at Mr. Silverstein. Insurance capitalization, right? Right?
Lucky Larry.
Pull it. Just pull it. It's the first thing that comes to my mind, gentlemen.
Yeah, BP oil spills, another good one. The AA put options. Yeah, tons of stuff.
Yeah, there's always an element of shekels in all this. You know, there's different layers to this, but there's always a way to make money from every disaster and every crisis is an economic opportunity for these people, absolutely.
How much do you think they're clearing off Social Security ledgers from wiping out these people prematurely, you know?
Yeah. Mechanic, have you looked into the idea that we might indeed be heading into a period of global cooling rather than a period of global warming?
Without question. That's where my head's been at for years.
Yeah.
I had a unique situation take place.
I agree.
This is the first year's patent. This is probably one of the most significant ones as of late. I was on the bus headed to a Padre game, Petco Park, that I got from the bus to the trolley. And when I was on the bus, I noticed an older gentleman. Who looked a lot like the guy on the Weather Channel. At this time, he had still owned the Weather Channel. I'm going to put this right up there just like that. And you guys can see if you can make that out. And I'll tell you exactly what this is in a moment. So I start rapping with this guy. And he starts telling me how, global warming is a complete hoax, 100% garbage.
Tart starts going into the math and the science with it behind me. And he starts breaking this whole thing down about when they found out, right? They had the technology, they created the narrative to enhance their agenda at the New World Order. Which, again, I've had people within the last couple of days tell me is a conspiracy theory. Even today, the New World Order is a conspiracy theory. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, this is all orchestrated into the UN charters and the National Security Act of 1947. All the construction of these parallel infrastructure, defense industry contractors, these things. Why do you think defense contractors are making food in the 1960s and 70s? Why do you think Rockefeller owns the National Biscuit Corporation as well as NBC Broadcasting and many other things? You know, I mean, these guys are running this by proxy, and it is all about risk transfer. The perception and the public relations optic through propaganda has really absolved them in the public eye of the accountability. Why do you think they spend so much money creating these narratives of World War II that completely draw you away from the real stuff that was going on, or in anything for that example? I mean, think about what they're going to say about the 2016 or 2020 elections and what this pandemic really was all about. I mean, they're forging a narrative that is just a complete absurdity, and it is a complete distraction from the reality we're seeing.
Well, let me put a question to the everyone on the panel here. Maybe, Mechanic, you could start. What do you think the purpose of these chemtrails are? Because we know they're real. A contrail only lasts for a couple of minutes. I've had several airline pilots that I've known confirm this.
They're drawing obviously chemicals. You know. Strength.
So what do you think the purpose of these? Are we talking biologics, weather control, or all of the above, or what are your thoughts?
Well, to again illustrate your point, my thoughts on this, I have the patents all lined up here. In addition to all the weather modification patents, the chemtrail patent, the aerosol, the atmospheric aerosol sprayer copyright, the physical machinery that jets the spray into the atmosphere is patented by the U.S. government. In fact, you will see there is a pattern of common citizens forfeiting their copyrights in legal terms to the U.S. government inside of these patents. So what they'll do is they'll make a request for the patent. You'll see in the whole timeline of the patent, the request, the person who made the request, the person who's behind the design, who has complete control of the patent based on a court ruling. And you'll see where these citizens, it seems that as if they're happily giving up their own inventions. I'm guessing Nazi scientists, but what I know about anything. And the year is coinciding. The year is coinciding with all of this. It's just, it could be a big, you know, ton of hot air right now. I understand that. All right.
Uh-huh. Do you think the primary function is biologics or weather manipulation, or is this a way they could spread pathogens as well?
All the above, sir. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. All agree. The above. All of this is at play. You cannot rule out any of this in their narrative, in their sequence. Let's take a look at the trifecta. They control the narrative in the weather. They control the narrative in sports. They control the narrative on the news. It's the trifecta. The news, what's our evidence? The Mockingbird trials. The weather, what's our evidence? The patents. What are we talking about on the third one, gentlemen? Go ahead. Anybody want to run the third?
No, go ahead.
Well, I just named the trifecta in sports now. What are sports being used to? To pass the virtue signal.
Yeah.
To pass the divide, to pass the racial narrative. It's happening in throughout all of professional sports. Baseball, which I hate the most because I'm a big Padre fan, and they're destroying sports day by day, although there's been some really good baseball as of late. you take a look at football, a complete scripted narrative, in my opinion. You take a look at the SCOTUS ruling. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that professional sports and news media have no obligation to the truth.
Well, absolutely. And go ahead, Giuseppe.
Mechanic, to put a cherry on that Lucid Sunday you just described, I was a huge sports fan up to a few years ago with this take a knee bullshit. And grew up.
I can't let baseball go, man. Giuseppe, I'm trying.
No, no, I understand.
I'm trying to let it go, Giuseppe.
I understand. But guess what? This this Sunday in Milwaukee at the home Bucks game, because I was born and raised there. My whole family's still around there. And who's still alive, rather. And they're having a deal that's all over the local media. Come to the Bucks game and get a free vaccination this Sunday. So unbelievable. Hey, you're absolutely right with using sports as a mind control tool. That's very insightful of you to point that out.
Yeah, there's no question.
You remember during the War of Terror, they were doing the same shit about patriots and veterans and people that were losing their children or their limbs, you know, in service of Halliburton or whatever it was. This was I worked in pro sports for 10 years during the War of Terror and shortly after 9/11. So I remember the formula they used to propagandize the people and the emotional heartstrings that they can draw people and tap into their energy, their spirit, their soul in the mass crowd. It's like an obedience thing where everybody does what everybody else is doing or what you're supposed to do, what the expectation is, whether it's wear a mask, stand, sit, you know, kneel, pray, whatever. This is part of the energy of the mass that they are using. It's also a programming tactic. When you get that many people in that place doing the same thing at the same time, it carries with you into a process, a repetition of programming. And they understand this and they use this. They abuse this. So they are absolutely using pro sports to this capacity as they've always have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on a bigger picture, too, they're using sports, you know, Hollywood stars. What we're seeing is we're seeing that every single piece of machinery that they can use right now to push forward the agenda of vaccines and you know, gay sex and whatever else they need to do. They're using everything at their disposal, and we're really seeing how many things are owned by this same cabal. That's how they're able to get this unified message put forth from corporations, sports, and Hollywood. And, you know, there's quite a bit of evidence that the sports teams, you know, a lot of the sports are actually fixed. And it goes back to money, because with all the betting and the you know, sports booking, a lot of the games are fixed now.
No doubt.
Well, it's bigger than a fix. If you mind, again, I raise you a fix. I raise you.
Hey, baby.
I see you fixed, right? And I raise you the numerology table. I raise you gematria. You can actually line up the numbers, the distance in years between when events take place is phenomenal. The numbers are outstanding. They are a huge flash of light that cannot be ignored, just flashing off and on. Let's take a look at breaking ground in August of 1968, going into the ground in its own footprint in September of 2001. That is exactly 33 years apart.
That Time magazine with the Rockefeller watch, too, at 9/11. No shit, man. You're
at
right on.
9/11, on the watch, date, Time magazine.
Yeah, the date of Time magazine, too, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolute pinpoint. They do this stuff on purpose. They're communicating with each other during the events. The numerology tables and gematria is the code of our existence. It is. It is everything by the numbers, our birth dates, the astrology, gematria. It is the language that they've chosen to communicate with each other through these events.
Just the latest one. Traveler.
That 33 thing does come up an awful lot, a lot more than it would just organically. You know, President Trump caught COVID 33 days before the election, coincidentally, you know. So, I mean, the 33 is just an amazing thing once you get into it.
Oh, okay. Well, amazing. I got one. I take that and raise you. Biden, I raise you the vote, 273 electoral votes at 3:22 a.m.
Colorado shooting happened on 3:22, and the area code for that part of Boulder is 303. How about that, mechanic?
And it's store number 33.
That's right. You're absolutely
store number 33, Chief.
It's all coincidence, baby.
Oh, in the most recent shooting, Oklahoma, guy reportedly beat his wife. Wife shows up at the grocery store to meet the cops. The cops go to the house. Old dude, when the cop shows up, unzips the jacket to his shirt. The big white number 33.
Unreal.
That happened 2 days ago.
Wow. Did you, I got a question from a fellow Milwaukeean. In fact, he went to the same high school I did. My youngest brother and him are friends. His name's Eagle Eye. He comes on the roundtables once in a while. And he wants to ask the panel, especially since Mechanics joined us, is do you guys believe Jeffrey Dahmer was a false flag?
I think that he was part of a satanic military cult that was doing some nasty shit, and he maybe took a fall just because he lost track of one of his victims.
Interesting.
The media has it right.
I haven't looked far enough into Jeffrey Dahmer to know. That's actually an interesting question. I'd like to look into his background more. I don't know anything about his family background or the dates of his killings.
Look into his army career. His military career.
A 19-year-old Asian male, butt-ass naked, running down the street.
He drilled a hole in the kid's head.
Contacts the police. Police put him in the car. Drive him right back to the front door of Mr. Dahmer's unit, his dwelling, which happened to be 213. Yeah, we'll get into 213 in just a minute. Yeah, so this dude, right back into the house. They find his body when they find all the rest. This dude endured some incredible end times.
Yeah, that's true. That's all very true. And one thing that's for sure, though, is the Jeffrey Dahmer narrative wouldn't work today because we all know that homosexuals don't do things like that. They're not serial killers. They're all very wonderful people. And we need to do all we can to bring them up higher in society. So it's funny how these narratives have to shift over time.
Okay. All right. Here we go. They would never store the heads of their victims in the freezer. That would never happen. No. And furthermore, right? You would never, you know, honestly, were you guys aware of who owns a statue of the lifelike victim in a bridge? He's in the position of a bridge in grappling. There's a bridge where you create your pelvic region, goes straight up in the air. Your back is bridged. You're avoiding being pinned, right? In this case, the head of our victim is synced inside of the mattress in a bridge position, looped over to where the ankles are embedded into the mattress as well. This is how they found one of the victims post-mortem in this position, was made into a statue and is now in the home of a former campaign
Podesta
manager.
Podesta has it.
Mr. Podesta.
Yep. There you go.
It's all coincidence, guys. There's so many coincidences that all seem to connect together. It's amazing. And, you know, Snippets in the chat room is wondering if Jeffrey Dahmer wrote a cookbook. He may have. I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
You know, I have a personal, like, instead of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I have 2 degrees of Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know if you remember. It was somewhat nationally known. There was a famous chocolate company in Milwaukee called Ambrosia Chocolates. And they did have national distribution, but not giant like Mars chocolates or what have you. But anyway, my uncle Vince, Vincenzo, worked for Ambrosia for 30 some years as a janitor, right? And he worked second shift. And so he worked with Jeffrey Dahmer at Ambrosia second shift. And Dahmer used to eat alone And what was pleasant to the other workers, and my Uncle Vince remembered him well and told stories about him. He said that he was a very respectful, quiet man, never sat with the other janitors when they had their lunch break. But Uncle Vince did see him multiple times carrying a bowling bag, so they all assumed he was an avid bowler. So there's my
only there's heads in the bowling bag rather than bowling balls.
You could make that assumption. Yep.
Some heads are gonna roll.
Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, mechanic, maybe stop sharing screen if you're done with your documents for now.
I wanted to continue with this to give you an example just on this one patent. This particular patent covers typhoon and cyclone type activity, where they have the controlling power to move it in and out of a region. If you want a lifelike example of how this happened, Houston, double tapped.
Wow.
Almost triple tapped, wasn't it? That thing went back and forth.
I don't know
like
about triple. I know for sure double
that
tapped.
Thing was nuts. Yeah, they showed it, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, this is the copyright of these things. You can go ahead and read the title for yourselves there, right there. Got control of tropical cyclone formation. That means they can control the movement and formation of hurricanes, cyclones, and typhoons.
Mechanic, have you done any research as to how many typhoons, hurricanes, cyclones are natural versus created via this technology? Do you have any thoughts?
At this point, I do believe since probably I have done research on this, just to we'll go ahead and get past this so you guys can have your show back. I would say there probably hasn't been an organic weather system. And let's talk seasonally through each season. I think that's probably 90% man-made weather systems. Wow. I think that only 10%. And I think that those 10% of the organic systems, they just can't stop from happening. They're too big or too powerful. And like me, I think I'm in an area, again, I sit at 8,000, the peak is 11,000. I think in my particular area, I do see both artificial and organic systems happen over me. I look at clouds. I could show you Facebook pictures from guys that take pictures of the clouds all the time. They think it's just beautiful, natural elements. I'm on there with them all the time telling them, this is garbage, guys. It's a beautiful picture. They'll have like long, you know, spear. They'll have like long pointed, almost like spears, and then they'll have a sphere right on top of it, right? Elongated cloud with a big round, almost spaceship-like cloud right on top of it. It just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I do believe that most weather systems are manipulated to this day, and that's been around since the 70s. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, the whole concept of, you know, these serial killers, just going back to that, you know, you have to wonder how many serial killers are simply created through mind control and other things. David McGowan, you know, had, you know, a book, Program to Kill, where he goes into this. And, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, I haven't looked into it deeply enough, but there's already some strange things coming out about him. And a lot of these serial killers really do seem to have been, you know, mind control programmed, and they all sort of began in what I think the first real one was the 1950s. And then by the 70s, you had a whole rash of them.
Hey, Dave, you mind if I jump in for a second and say, I think as governor of Texas, George W. Bush pardoned, was it Henry Lee Lucas? Serial killer was the only person I think he pardoned on his last day as governor. So that's something kind of interesting to look into. Why would he pardon that guy? I think a lot of these serial killers are in with these guys in the satanic cult. Maybe they're wranglers. Maybe they're low-level guys like that dude that got busted in Ohio a few years ago with like 38 women or something. I think that they run this trafficking thing and have underground networks. And I think that these people are probably part of this thing. And maybe if they get caught or whatever, they get hung out as the mastermind, as the end-all, be-all when they're really operatives. Like John Wayne Gacy, he was a Democratic operative. Ted Bundy, Republican operative. I mean, these are even what's his name was Dahmer had connections in the military with like Aquino's guys, a lot of friends with his circle. So there's a lot of weird shit going on that's more than meets the eye in these things, and they're not telling you the whole thing. It's about the media sensationalizing this type of environment, putting this fear into everybody. It was like the age of the hitchhiker and the anti-war hippie movement. They had to scare the hell out of that and to destabilize that whole thing into an element of fear and mania.
Yeah. Hitchhikers, bring in Ed Gein.
Yeah.
There's your go. Sure. That got rid of hitchhiking peaceful thinkers real quick.
And Ted Bundy too, you know, part of his scheme was to drive around in a VW Bug, a very nice looking, friendly looking car, and pick up female hitchhikers. And he used to pretend to have one of his arms in a sling, like he was injured, to make himself look even more, you know, innocuous. And again, this kind of goes back to our conversation about cancer. You know, how many cancers were caused by these vaccines? How many serial killers were created by mind control, satanic cults, and other factors just to unleash terror upon our society? And you're right. Hitchhiking used to be very common. It was no big deal. And of course, nobody, you know, very few people dare to do that now.
Scorpio, did you add somebody on Skype?
I just did.
Eight 308.
Join the conversation, man. How are you, sir?
Well, greetings. Yeah, greetings, guys. And thanks for adding me. And I just called because I wanted to commend you guys for the tremendous work you do for this station. I mean, it's really impressive. I mean,
Giuseppe, thank you. Appreciate you.
Chris Weinard and Mechanic. Yeah, you guys do fantastic work. You're just elevating the station to a whole new level of information, you know, and perspective. That are sorely needed. Yeah. I do have a question, though, regarding COVID-19. Are we ready to define COVID as a bioweapon and not just some organic flu variant that just happens to be, you know, a little more virulent than the normal one?
Oh, 100%, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would.
Right. So this is a mechanized creation of man, so it doesn't follow the normal rules of virology, right? So we don't know what we're up against.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, it's a two-stage weapon. The first stage is trackable for 7 years. Fauci funded the gain of function beginning at Fort Detrick. Then it went to Madison, Wisconsin, and went to Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. And then in 2014, when somebody who was sane in the U.S. government outlawed that type of gain of function work, he migrated it to China and the Wuhan labs. So that's stage one. And then what's worse is what they've done. They being the Zionist controllers of Big Pharma have done with Moderna and Pfizer, which is they are cheating the normal checks and balances of genetic modification. It's very comparable. I know you have 808, which is a drum machine, so you'll absolutely understand this reference that people like Monsanto and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, they do gain of function genetic modification analog. They follow the checks and balances that are in nature. Pfizer and Moderna do it digitally. They take a snippet of synthetic messenger RNA via the CRISPR technology. They shoot it in like a little bullet, and it cuts out your normal piece of DNA, inserts itself, and starts to create this hardwired protein antibody producer called a protein spike, right? And so this is what's going on, and everybody that's gotten those two shots. So now we have literally an unknown, possibly human extinction event bioweapon that is being grown in all these people. So it is so satanically evil, I can't even begin to comprehend what they're doing.
And disguised and packaged as a cure. what it is.
Yeah, as a cure, right, exactly.
Well, what's your thoughts, 808, on your own question? What do you think? And I think Giuseppe just made an interesting point about that the cure may be worse than the disease.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's true. That's the theme, right? They spayed us with the vaccine so they can kill us. We're like worm fish on the worm's hook, or the, you know, the hook where we put the worm on it. Well, I'm starting to adapt my definition to meet the existing conditions. Number one, you had that guest on Friday on the perfect triangle. What was his name?
British, Dr. Kevin McCarron. Dr. Kevin.
Yes.
McCarron.
Thank you. Right. And he was more developing the thought that, hey, this is something to take serious. It's not just an ordinary virus. It has become weaponized due to the manipulation of men, right?
Right.
Today, knowledgeable men such as Dennis Fetcho, right? And we should all send our prayers and thoughts out to him because now he's diagnosed with COVID. Right. And I would think he would be one of the last people because he's well schooled on, you know, the prevention techniques and he's aware of the deception. But nevertheless, right, he succumbed for now anyway. So it's forced me to reevaluate, rethink.
What's happening with him? Wow.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't on today. We had 3 hours of essentially dead air. Mr. Rowe came on and made the announcement.
Well, he's in the Olympics now, isn't he?
I'm sorry, what?
Say again? Dennis Fetcho, is he in the Philippines now, or is he in Saudi?
He's still in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, last I heard. Right.
Last week, Scorpio, Dennis was hurting, and yes, he said he was fighting it, and he asked for, you know, prayers and healing energy, so it's unfortunate that he's taking a turn for the worse. You know, let's all send healing energy to Dennis because he is a titan in the public fight in the media against the internationalist Jew. I mean, he's a legend.
Yeah, he absolutely. Yeah. I know in the Philippines you can get a hold of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine very easily, but I don't know about Saudi Arabia with the statuses on getting those kind of medicines there.
Right. Good point. Does he have access to the medicines that he needs to get better? I would think they would. They're pretty sophisticated, you know, in terms of their medicine and technology in Saudi Arabia. Pretty advanced Middle Eastern country. So let's just hope. Anyway, I left the message in Skype, so you'll hopefully respond when you get more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe we're joined now, too, by Mr. Mike Gatti, a friend of the show, and a voice we're always happy to hear from. Mike, why don't you come aboard
and
where you want to go?
Well, I just want
to meet you, Mr. Gatti.
Pleasure to meet you, sir. As you guys were talking about mass shootings, the one that popped into my head right away was Fort Hood. And the connections between Major Hassan, who had just left DARPA at Virginia Tech, and he was allegedly put in charge of what was called a mind control called Warrior Reset to pull mind control over combat veterans to help them with the PTSD syndrome.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. The media, I was down there in Austin. I opened an arena up there for Dallas Stars AHL team, and Fort Hood was going on at the time. They were making it sound like he was doing a therapy for PTSD, helping them recover from it and stuff like that. But it was certainly, like you said, I think more people that I heard from said that it was like a DARPA black ops contractor, deep state type thing, and it was went crazy.
Well, Let's not forget, gentlemen, that DARPA has a headquarters at Virginia Tech, and where did we have another mass shooting? Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, right? Not too far from Langley.
A couple at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I was
right,
going to say there's been multiple. The big one was that Asian fella who that was one of the early psychological operations. I remember.
Yeah, NG.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of weird things go on at Virginia Tech, that's for sure.
Well, don't forget, well, that was one of the DARPA was is very much involved in this mind control, because I don't know if you gentlemen remember, but they came out in 2000, I think it was 2012, touting the development of a new helmet for the military, which would take over brain function.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they pitched it as, well, it will remember, it will remove fear and emotion from the soldier, and the soldier will just be able to do as he's instructed.
Unreal.
Automaton.
It did work.
And also, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but the day of the Fort Hood shooting, the post commander, a major general, came on CNN, and I downloaded it because I knew it was going to change. He came on and said that there were three perpetrators, and they had film on CNN of one of the perpetrators being chased down at the golf course at Fort Hood, and one other perpetrator was located. The commander of Fort Hood comes out and says, we have all three suspects in custody, and within hours, the whole damn thing disappeared off the media.
And all of a sudden, it's a lone wolf. Yeah.
Yes. Then all of a sudden, it's the lone wolf.
That's
and
a good
stop
point.
And think. Like go ahead.
Well, I said like Vegas. You remember, like you was talking about Houston earlier. A couple days later, they had Vegas, and it took everybody away from that whole the talk about the weather manipulation. They always have these weird stories. You know, they put it on one person, but there's multiple accounts on like radio dispatch from shots being fired from like five, six different locations in Vegas. Yes,
I heard.
Right.
To jump in. Go ahead.
Reducible to the lone gunman formulated to the lone gunman.
Right.
Like the earlier reports of multiple shooters. Yeah.
Well, what we're witnessing right now is a part of this program that the madman speaks of. I tell you what, Mr. Gaddy's good to hear from you always. These are also a part of it. You mentioned the trifecta, and then you have the individual mind thought domination process going on, and it's inside society, whether they even want to apply the programs that they have, the MK Ultras of the world. They have so many things that are already kind of embedded into society that are deteriorating the thought process of man. They no longer think for themselves. They've been released of responsibility. They're all living in victimhood. A good majority of these people are living in victimhood, and you know who they are. They're wearing identification badges, Mr. Gaddy.
Absolutely.
We all know who the people are that are either living in fear or they get along and they don't think there's anything wrong with this. The fact that you can sit down and not be affected and stand up and be affected is total hogwash, and people don't want to address this. You have to wear a mask to walk in a business. Okay, you have to wear it to walk in, but the moment you're sitting down, you can take it off. That screams,
right?
It screams. It's a nuclear explosion of compliance. It screams right. Compliance and nothing else. Go ahead.
Oh, very well stated, sir. That has been a thought of mine for years. I mean, for months.
Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio for the third and final hour. We've been kind of all over the place today talking about chemtrails, weather manipulation, COVID-19, 33, and a lot of other stuff. Also serial killers. And I'm joined by Mr. Mike Gaddy, 808 Wide and Awake, The Mechanic, Giuseppe, and Chris Weinert. And Mike, you know, I really appreciate you calling in. And, you know, you talked about the mass shootings. What do you think the correlation is with so-called serial killers with, you know, this mind control and, you know, deep state involvement in the creation of serial killers?
Well, Dave, look at all of the files that were destroyed by the CIA on MK Ultra when Congress actually found enough cojones to subpoena their records. They just... got rid of them, and then look to you know, books like The Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien. And in that book, she said the center of mind control for America was Virginia Tech. And of course, that's where DARPA was. We look at all of these shootings that just, you know, seem to follow a direct pattern, and they are all used to influence opinion, just like everything else. And, you know, I posted on Facebook recently that the shootings will continue until you assholes give up your guns.
Here you go.
So it's a psyop. It's just another psyop. And as we mentioned, Virginia Tech, you know, I can't remember the Oriental's name, who I think there were 43 victims, but most people do not remember. Thank you. Most people don't remember that two nights before that, one of the campus policemen was shot through the head while sitting in his patrol car on campus. And that one, of course, just went away with the mass shooting. And we wonder about that. Then we go to Aurora, Colorado, and the guy goes in to the theater and shoots the place up. And the witness who said, well, somebody opened the door to let him in, you know, whatever happened to that. So there are so many holes in these things. It is absolutely, I don't understand how anyone cannot question it. And I just wanted to tell you, Mechanic, it was just absolutely great. I listened in as you were talking about the contrails and other things, and what great information. It's fantastic that you bring that to the table where in a society where we're all nuts for even mentioning that the government might be involved in this.
It's a fact. And again, people are locked in a chamber of cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
and those are the handcuffs that they wear, and they wear these things throughout their life. And you get shamed. You get shamed when you question these things throughout your life. You're not alone. But here, I'm here to tell you right now, don't carry the burden. Don't carry the burden of other people's ignorance. It's heavy enough for them. You got no business carrying it. You're awake to these things, privy to these things. You're on the right side of history. And don't be shamed for your beliefs, your thought, or your research.
Right. Well, part of the strategy is to convince you that you're isolated and alone in your thoughts, and you're a little kooky, you know, a little offbeat, and you ought to get with the flow of things, man. You're just holding up progress. So they want to make you feel.
You got Sandy Hook. We could talk SH all day. Three people in the back, in the woods, all in black, were detained.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's the formulation, right? And it gets reducible to one shooter who was conveniently killed, by the way.
Well, let's not forget
camo's on.
Yeah, I referred to it as Sandy Hoax. And stop right. And think about something. The narrative that they get people to believe. Guy goes in with an AR, with a Bushmaster. He goes in. He shoots all of these people, including students and what have you. And then he goes outside, puts his Bushmaster into the trunk of his car, takes a handgun, goes back into the school, and offs himself. In what world would such a thing happen?
Exactly. And he's a perfect marksman, too.
Yes. It's
the skill of a team, you know, sniper.
All right. Well, Mechanic, I have a question, and that is, what are your thoughts? And I've done some deep dive on this one, but we know that under Operation Paperclip that the Dulles brothers were able to bring many SS and Nazis, including their germ warfare, of course, their space under Wernher von Braun, but they also brought in a lot of Goebbels underlings in the propaganda mind control field, and brought them into the newly created CIA. What do you draw any parallels with that and with some of the things we experienced through this?
Yeah, I think the CIA was formatted in preparedness for such a thing. I think the CIA was put into place to await the incoming group It was several thousand, right?
Yes, correct.
And
the liaison, right?
And the sector was very much a part of it, and that went into MK Ultra. If we could look at the dates of MK Ultra, look at the dates of when it was first brought into the light, when scientists started making it public, well known in between specific agencies and the military. All of this remained in the military for years and years and years, right? And then it was only the CIA, and then you had your leaks, and then it got into politics. But most every scientific discovery, every invention, whether it be the phone or your computer or MK Ultra, even the psychological warfare, all military. These are all military designed for the military by use of the military. The military gets the first pick of these things, right? And they decide where it should go.
We get the technology. We get the public derivatives of that technology, you know, sometimes decades down the road, right? And it's always foisted as something totally organic. Some guy in his basement dreamed it all up. Bill Gates, you know, Facebook, right? It's just, God, these guys are such geniuses. You know, no affiliation with the government whatsoever, right?
Genius, what's the word I'm looking for here? Somebody help me out here. Where you have... the family ties to other families. There's not really a blood relationship there, but there is a long
bloodline.
The coincidences.
I'll tell you what.
Family ties.
All these people have been in the game for years, and they're born into it.
Yep.
You can go all the way into sports. You could talk Crenshaw, and you could talk. What was the former Panther quarterback? Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions.
Cam Newton.
Stafford. Detroit. Matthew Stafford.
Stafford. Yeah. Stafford and Crenshaw, right? Same high school?
Yeah,
same high school.
Yeah, Dallas.
Right, same high school. And if I recall, their parents both big-time operators within organized alphabet soup companies. And I can't confirm the one I believe it is, so I'm not even going to bother saying it. But – You could see the lineage throughout all of these families. Who was the governor of California?
Brown.
Newsom. Right? And what's his closest relative there in California that the public would know? Pelosi.
Wow.
Pelosi is
Gavin's aunt. About Newsom.
That's right. By marriage.
You're talking about Newsom.
Right. And so these are all together. That's the way they're gonna go. Let's These people make a deal with the devil, right? And they get trade-offs in these positions, but they are forced into making these decisions that make them look they become the fall guy. It's a role they play.
So it's all a structured line of succession, right? Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, 808, go ahead. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, no, I just wanted to make sure because we had the break and I thought maybe something got changed. But, go back. Oh, I'm glad Michael Gaddy's on this call because he can probably chime in. Back during the Civil War, this little town in Illinois produced what? Grant, Lincoln was kind of affiliated with it. All of these Union dominant players in the Civil War came from this little town. Was it Springfield, Illinois? Are you familiar with that, Michael Gaddy, Mr. Gaddy?
Yes.
Don't you find that kind of odd statistically?
Wait.
Oh, sorry. I thought he was done. I was saying, look at the amount of Masonic generals on both sides of Civil War.
But in particular, this one hub, Illinois.
Well, guys, if you want
to care to comment on that?
Well, if you're going to talk about Masonic generals there, Chris, let's go back to the Revolutionary War. George Washington would not allow anyone to be a general and command troops that was not a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
And, wow.
And also,
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
Right. When Lafayette came over to join, Washington told him that before he could become command troops in the field, he would have to become a Mason.
Were the Masonic, was it more benign then, though? Are we at fault when we try to impose the Freemasonry of today with the Masonry of that era, which was probably more benign towards humanity? Am I mistaken in characterizing it as that?
Not in my opinion. Not in my opinion. I think they were just as devious back then as they have been. Now, I think we have to do a separation. We talk about the rank and file, and like in any organization, there are people who are in the rank and file who are not in the what I would call the command structure.
Mm-hmm. The hidden enemy, we should
say. Or and, control. And also, if you do
the fact that, am I stepping on somebody? Do people realize that the people they see in the forefront, on the ones that show their face on a camera, the speakers of the House, the majority leaders, the on both sides, the GOP, the DNC, all of it, whatever the garbage is, that they are just on the end of a controlled environment. They are being told what to do, what to say, where to go, how to act, what to call on, what narrative to spread on on the media, what emotions to show. Hey, and Pelosi, what we want you to do is, it would be great if you could just lift your hand up off the podium and hit it real hard on the side of the podium, and we'll boost the volume to make it appear that you have this real intense drive. You know, it'll really sell what you're doing. And we saw her do this, right? This is all a part of it, the propaganda process too. These are all being controlled. They have controllers that are bigger than them, and then bigger than those controllers. I've told it's six people that are actually the shot callers of the end game here. Is that what we're dealing with? Six families or six people, six families? Is it six
families? Chief mechanic on it. Yeah. Sounds just like theater. It's all theatrics. Just like the George Floyd drama that was imposed upon us, and we're supposed to believe the details of this faulty narrative, right? And it's all designed to separate us from our protection of law enforcement, to divide us along racial lines, and further their agenda of conquest. You know, and blacks and whites have no real problems unless they're manufactured by the media and the manipulators and controllers behind the scene. Would you all agree with me on that?
I can't talk to you anymore, dude.
Sure. You know, 808, excellent point. And our friend of show, Miriam Hanane, has put out a couple of excellent videos in the past week. Short ones. I think they're on Rumble or I'll look for the link. But anyway, the young black woman who was traumatized, one of the people videoing it, she said in the video, she's like, I have to stack my cash over this. And she has made nearly $1 million. Another young black woman who claims she was traumatized has made $750,000 because of their trauma. It's right. Like, hey, man, I got some trauma, too.
Right. We should all play that game, right?
Count. You're white.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the big thing we have to ask ourselves, you know, how many problems does our society face that were simply manufactured, scripted, and brought to the public on television by the government using some kind of intelligence agency to enact the whole thing? I mean, we've already covered serial killing. I mean, the list goes on.
I mean, it literally is fake news. It's theater, just as a mechanic was describing, and as you often mentioned, Scorpio. None of this is real. You might invert it to say 10% reality, 90% fake or manufactured. I mean, that's just the position I take. I question and scrutinize everything, you know, if it comes from the mainstream media. And we've known this to be the case, right? With every mass shooting, there's always the alternative narrative there.
Exactly. There's a word that so covers what the gaslighting globalist media does. The word is specious, which means half-truths. Yes. They throw in a couple nuggets so it's believable to the normies. But if you take it apart like you – obviously can do 808 and everyone else here can do. And then you realize it's all lies. It's all specious lies.
Right. Right. It sounds good. Specious arguments, right? They sound impressive, implausible.
Right.
But with upon closer examination, no. Yeah.
Big.
And there's another word that dude guy introduced me to, and I love it. It's called verisimilitude. Right, because it looks real, but if you really, really, really examine it, it you can see the artificiality, you know, kind of seep through. You know what I mean? But at
that
first impression,
man,
verisimilitude. It has the appearance of authenticity, but it's not. You know, and that's what they do. So, yeah. So,
we've kind of stepped into your territory a little bit here. How many of these problems do you think result directly from intelligence agencies and the government?
All of them.
That's what I want to know. What role do they play?
Yeah. Right. A significant role, a key role, right? Chris Weiner, that's his area of expertise. Are you there, Chris?
Mike's here. He's muted.
Maybe he went to get a sample.
Oh, he's
muted. Yeah, because Chris is like a pit bull when it comes to stuff like this, making these connections. I mean, the guy's like a savant, right? I mean, he can just recall and just lay out the facts from. Are you there, Chris? Giving you a build up, buddy.
Well, let's go. Like Scorpio said, first Mike.
Yeah, Gatti. I'm here. I just let Mike go. They said let Mike go, right?
And then Chris after. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Mike then Chris.
Okay,
guys. My apologies. I didn't hear you ask for my opinion on that. I was listening and obviously didn't hear. But when it comes to the intelligence agencies, I believe that starting back with the CIA, who has never, ever followed its mandate from the very beginning in 45, it has never followed its mandate. The CIA was supposed to be exactly what the letters signify, a central intelligence agency. They were not supposed to be involved in covert activities. They were not supposed to be involved in intelligence gathering. They were to collect the intelligence from other operatives, other agencies, and centralize it for consumption by the federal government. And they never, ever, Harry Truman, who actually created the Central Intelligence Agency, made that comment 2 days after JFK's assassination, that the he was sorry he ever created it. Of course, we have to remember that Truman was totally out of the loop because he didn't even know about the Manhattan Project until FDR kicked the bucket with his mistress down in Georgia. So that was something I've always wondered about Truman, because then he apologizes for the CIA creating the CIA after Kennedy assassination. Weird timing there. But I can guarantee you from my time in the bowels of the monsters, number one, I tell people this, and you get this very ridiculous look from so many people. But number one, the CIA controls the United States military in all branches. They issue the orders. It comes down from the CIA. They started out just being, during Vietnam, just being in total charge of all of the special operations units and the MACV program in Vietnam was conducted entirely by the CIA. And then it gradually encroached over, and in the years after Vietnam, the CIA took over control of the entire United States military. But if there is anything sinister going on in this country, you can track it to an alphabet agency.
Well, can we take it a step further? Wouldn't it be the National Security Council directing and keeping an eye on the president, you know, puppeteering the president and making sure, you know, the agenda goes forth?
Well, exactly. And I think one of the telling things here was that there was JFK issued a national security order ordering all of the troops out of Vietnam within a year's time. And when he was assassinated in Dallas, the very first order that LBJ issued was rescinding that order of withdrawing the troops. But if you go into the National Archives and look at the official documents, the document that was issued by LBJ was written in Washington, D.C. 2 days before JFK was assassinated.
Yeah. Wow, such a prescience. How did they know he wasn't going to be around? Yeah. So, of course, that's all suppressed, right? Not very much.
Go ahead, Chris.
That's right. Yeah, I agree, man. You guys are absolutely right. I think the whole the Harvard Trust, the money that put together not only the Federal Reserve, but that has controlled the political process, the propaganda behind it for centuries, is absolutely leading us down this theater. This thing can be tied to the secret societies, the Hasty Pudding Clubs, the frats, the stuff that they act out. They understand this. All the world's a stage, and we are merely players. Well, these guys really. They use us in terms of risk transfer and proxy warfare. And best way to do it is to know that you're not being used, and better yet, to think that you're free. And ultimately, these guys have enslaved us under these pretenses of socioeconomic sorcery. And really, what has gone on is absolutely being orchestrated by the alphabet agencies around the world. This is the formula, the model that was put in under the UN, I think, after World War II. And I think that's part of the reason why World War II was fought in the first place, was to pummel people into compliance with this central run authority that will pretty much answer to the one world government that they're trying to create. And I think it's up to humanity around the world to understand what's being done and resist this by all means.
Hey, Chris, I've got a question for when the American educational system was taken over to coincide with the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, when the educational system was taken over under three nonprofit organizations, the Rockefeller, the Carnegie, and the Ford Foundation. Those three foundations put $84 million in 1908, put $84 million into transforming the education system of America. How many years before we had an NEA?
Sure. And you remember that Samuel Untermyer had that famous thing with J.P. Morgan where he put him in front of the Congress and he was asking him, is there a moneyed interest that controls the production of the United States and the education and the medical fields? And he laughed at him. But of course, yeah, that's because he knew it was true, not false.
Exactly. And look at that crazy congressman from East Tennessee, Carol Reese. And he put together the Reese Commission and employed Norman Dodd to reveal what these three organizations had done with American education. And of course, they immediately pulled the funding on that when it started revealing too much of this motive. And Norman Dodd, before he passed away, was interviewed by G. Edward Griffin, and he made the statement that when he went personally, he was the chief investigator for the Reese Commission, and when he went personally to the chairman of the Ford Foundation at the time, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but when he went to him and he asked him, explain this to me. And the guy said, hey, I'll open up all my records to you guys. You guys can have everything you want. But we thought you were totally aware that we were brought in to bring the American education system in line with the Soviet Union.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Those planks. Chris, can I ask you?
Go ahead.
Chris, do you have a financial background? Because you use financial terms in your descriptive analysis.
I have no background at all. No, certainly not.
Okay, you seem.
I mean, I read a lot of books, man. A lot of books, like 13,000 some odd books I've probably read.
To be so well versed in the mechanisms of the financial systems, so.
Yeah, I've studied probably, a few thousand books on economics, so I've studied it, but I don't have any background. I don't have, like, any vested interest. I'm not, like, ever worked for Wall Street or anything like that. I don't even have a 401k, none of that shit. So, yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah.
You know, what's really interesting, too.
I think you probably missed your call.
we're under a constant state of terror by the government, you know, using everything from, you know, cancers, vaccines, COVID, serial killers, mass shootings. It seems like, you know, that's been the method by which they're intending to control and steer the population is through fear and trauma and killing. It's really quite incredible, the discussion we've had today.
Right. Population control agenda.
Hey, Dave, is Giuseppe still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Giuseppe, I think I've asked you this question on another program, but I would like to hear your thoughts on this again. And I remember when I was working at that place called No Such Agency, the thing about the polio vaccine came up in a discussion one time, and the observance, someone observed that after the polio vaccine, which they said was a, what do you call it, where you need a follow-up.
Booster or binary?
Yeah, binary. There we go. The binary, I was listening to some dissertations about the fact of the rapid rise in cancer after polio vaccines. Can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. Essentially, the arrogance of the Hebrew Jonas Salk and many of his peers. In fact, let me put this little meme up for people to see. The Jewish heroes in vaccination, their arrogance dating, you know, back to the 19th century was that the human immune system was so much more sophisticated than any animal system that you could, you know, do gain of function experimentation and there'd be no blowback. There'd be no diseases from a mouse brain or a cat kidney or a monkey liver or what have you. The human immune system is so robust that it will not happen. And guess what? It always happened. That's why the great Dr. Judy Mikovits points out that every vaccine is contaminated. The blood supply is contaminated, all because of this arrogance, thinking that human immune function is superior to animal immune function.
Well, Giuseppe,
was it arrogance or was it by design? A wolf, volition,
boy,
right?
They,
he knew it would cause it. I mean, it was arrogant, but I mean, but for a purpose. That was the intended purpose, to create destruction.
I can easily believe that. Mr. Gaddy, I have a question for you, dating back to what you were saying a few moments earlier. Is the CIA controls the military? Who controls the CIA?
International bankers.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Yeah.
That has been, if we can go back to especially Vietnam, and you can look at what we referred to as Air Nook Mom, which was Air America, and the drug running that was done by the CIA, and all of this dark money has always been used for these dark projects, which aren't on the books anywhere, which include MK Ultra and quite a few other things. And those are accomplished through the international drug trade. And let's not forget that, hey, we have 9/11. Allegedly, we have some Saudi Arabian folks go out and commit a crime. So we launch an attack on Afghanistan. And the American public just doesn't even ask the question. But you have to look at what the Taliban had done with the supply of opium on the marketplace. The Taliban had almost totally eliminated the poppy crop production in Afghanistan, and within 14 months of the U.S. invasion in September, October 2001, within 14 months, we're back up to the metric tons of production of the poppy crop and opium again. And right. that is always CIA controlled. You know, I got in a lot of trouble when I was at Fort George G. Meade, Maryland, for having a bumper sticker on my pickup truck that said "Dare to keep the CIA off drugs."
Right. I guess an analogy would be the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor. Quick, let's go invade Mexico.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Guys, don't forget about what happened, and this is all in the National Archives. Let's not forget that when we first spotted the missiles in Cuba, the first reaction to the Joint Chiefs to JFK was to nuke Berlin. That's in the National Archives. Yeah, they wanted to. They said, let's retaliate immediately let's nuke Berlin.
Jeez.
Wow.
But what about the Western interest in Berlin? I mean, why would they do? Why would they even propose such a ludicrous thing? There was East and West Berlin. I mean, wouldn't it be spillover?
Up the North.
What's the rationale?
Well, we can't ever operate under the assumption that these people care about lives. It doesn't make any difference who they kill. They're not, you know, Operation Northwoods proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they were more than willing in 1962, had been signed off by the Joint Chiefs all the way down to Limitzer, who was the chairman, and had been, it was presented to Kennedy by Robert Strange McNamara. What a wonderful name. it was presented by him to
Secretary.
Kennedy. Yeah. Was presented, where did he work before that? He worked at Ford Motor Company, and he's the chief engineer behind the Edsel. So we can see his acumen right away.
Right.
But here's McNamara.
Who may not know your reference, the Edsel was a failure. The younger people may not know the significance of an Edsel, right?
Well, bring that up. Have you guys remember the grill of the Edsel?
Vaguely.
Okay. There was a joke. There was a joke going around about the drunk who walked in front of an Edsel and say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me, ma'am."
Let's get Mechanic in here. Mechanic, we haven't heard from you in a while. What do you have to say about all this, man?
It's all wrapped up in a bunch of hogwash. We just got people that can't think for themselves. It's almost comical. I found myself in hysteria a couple of shows ago. It was a later night roundtable, and I just the actions and behavior I still see to this date. The latest information to come out following a study from Stanford University, that now the CDC is recognizing. And they say it officially, you no longer have to wear a mask outside like we ever had to to beginning with, right? But we know what the narrative is. People are no longer even listening to the CDC now. So who's their God? Who's their new God right now? Listen, it's not a coincidence that the Sleever comes out in the year of 2021, the same year of the Agenda 21, which is joined by Agenda 30. It's no coincidence that there's a memoir there regarding a pandemic in year 2025, which I think that they sped up. I think Trump slowed down their plans. They would have had more things in place. And that's why this whole narrative is collapsing around us. And a lot of people are becoming privy to it, but not enough, not quickly enough. It's a tragedy.
Glad Giuseppe's on this call, because I got a follow-up to what you just said.
Yeah, I know you've been on 2 weeks. Everybody's less than 2 years that took the Sleever. And I don't know. I don't want to believe
2 weeks before reveals. But I'm just going to take it back. COVID, right, in its original state, is pretty much confined to the respiratory system, right? The lungs and the nasal passages and throat and so forth. Is that not correct, Giuseppe? Pretty much?
Well, the original SARS was a gain of function that did attack the respiratory process. You're absolutely right. The additional gain of function for SARS-CoV-2 was so much more insidious, and they added an mRNA snippet of AIDS, and they added a snippet of malaria, and it's far more pernicious. But yeah, and you're absolutely right. Both primarily attacked the respiratory system, but the problem with the new COVID is it can also attack the neurological system, and that's where it really is.
Bingo.
Yeah, creating a lot of problems.
That's what I was leading. Right. The spike protein is now free thanks to the mRNA messenger that's writing on every cell. Now it's free to manifest anywhere, in your organs and in your brain. And I heard it like it's an analogy of scrubbing the walls, causing hemorrhaging in the cells, right? So once we had the problem confined to the lungs, now thanks to the wonderful vaccine, it's all over the body now, or it will manifest in the not too distant future. Am I correct?
Well, it'll get so much worse, but even the COVID gain of function, the SARS-CoV-2, that can also already go all over the body. That's why you're having these young people who have like what they're calling long hauler syndrome, where all of a sudden they thought they got over the COVID-19, and 3 months later they're having all types of cardiac problems, and in some cases a fatal cardiac event. And that's all because the embedding in the nerves that lead to the heart. So yeah.
Well, Giuseppe, the probability is that these long haul symptoms are possibly caused by interactions with the 50 or so other vaccines that many young people have been subjected to.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Point. Someone should do a study, right? See if there's a correlation. Do long haulers have this effect because of their history of, of consistently taking the other vaccines, right? So that would increase their chances of having this long hauler effect.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, I was trying to make the argument that, we're just making it worse with the mRNA, even though ostensibly it's supposed to be a cure, because now it's more free to express that protein, that spike protein, anywhere, right? Whereas before, you kind of had a handle on it. Let's focus on the lungs and respiratory for the most part for most people, right? Now it's just out of control.
You got to hope that the human body will somehow adapt to it, because left on its own, these mRNA vaccines are catastrophic and could drive a human extinction event. But hopefully, nature always wins. That's what Dr. Zach Bush, who I really respect and admire a lot, he says nature always wins. So hopefully, everything that the internationalist Jews are doing with their bioweapon vaccine program, hopefully nature will adapt and humanity will win the day. I that's what I hope.
Dr. Judy Mikovits said that these man-made mRNA contraptions, right, they're feeble, right? They're not robust enough. So hopefully it won't, like you just said, Giuseppe, it will not be robust enough to cause great harm. It'll just die, which might explain why they want to give us more boosters, right? Because they know it's kind of like a rickety kind of
understand is they're weak when exposed to nature. They'll die in the sunlight. They can be killed easily by bleach in external environments. Weak when they get in the body.
You're starting to sound like Trump. You said bleach and sunlight. Shame on you, Giuseppe.
Well, he was right, and now he's changed his tune, which is
absolutely,
it shows he's controlled.
He's definitely controlled.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Get on the podium. You saw him get up on the podium last year during the task force under Trump. He gets up there before the media starts asking questions, before Trump and his crew are out there. What's he doing? He's standing right next to the American flag, and he's got his right hand tucked into his coat, his left hand down to his side.
He did that.
All right, it's done. He waves, he goes, and sits back down.
How many times has Fauci done that pose, the hidden hand pose, too? Yeah.
No, it was what I'm talking about.
I thought you said Trump.
Hey, guys. Trump.
Trump never.
Even in 2016.
I don't think so.
He would throw up Masonic hand signals in the run-up in his campaign. I would notice and observe this. He did. He's a fellow traveler. But maybe he's a more benign variant, right? We can only hope, right? But he definitely, he became president, he threw up his sonics.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we've been joined by Chicago Brew, a fellow host on Revolution Radio as well. He hosts the show High Noon Chicago Brew, jump in, man. What do you got?
Hey, I'm outside. You might catch some wind. You know, Judy Mikovits was on Rents, her first appearance on Rents last night, if anybody didn't catch it.
Oh, no
and
kidding.
She, wow. You know, with her. Yeah, so with her first appearance and only an hour to go, she really tried to get as much as she could out there. And one of the things she did was remind us, you know, as we heard in the beginning, if you guys remember, we're often forgetting, we were talking about this since February, March of 2020. And then one of the things she reminds us of is that they were actually putting this version of this virus, illness, whatever, into flu shots as way back as 2015.
Yep.
So she suspects. So wow. This has been around for a while. It's just, but they just didn't publicize it. People didn't realize they were getting this sick. And I guess there was a massive amount of deaths in 2017 of flu deaths. Well, they were. How were they getting so deathly sick? Well, from the flu shots or whatever they were doing to manipulate the situation then. But again, they didn't publicly announce. They didn't roll out their campaign. Oh my gosh, COVID, this, that, the other. What they weren't ready for that. So I'm at living right. Here as I go along. It's not all duty, yeah. So my own. You know, our friend there, Dennis Fetcho, one of the things he preluded to was he actually went out to dinner with a mixed batch of people that actually had gotten the jab. So he was surrounded by people.
Wow.
Did they hug him? Did they high five him? Was he sitting right next to him? What was the spacing? You know, but he was right next to people. And what we're calling the shedding, which is basically other people are now saying, well, the shedding, yes, but it's more of a transmission. What are they transmitting? Because these jabs have all sorts of they don't even know what's in it. They won't even reveal what's in it, you know, because we still don't have a private lab or whatever that has actually tried to get to the bottom of what's in it, because the companies themselves aren't telling us. But we do know there's nanotech and this and that and the other. A concoction of things that are in it. So what are these, the ability of these to do to transmit to other people? And as we hear about all the effects, non-vaccinated people being around vaccinated people, especially women who, you know, their menstrual cycles are going all wacky and all this other stuff, you know, who knows what's going on? I mean, this is really, carry it up from there. Go ahead.
Well, these aren't the side effects. These are the effects. Let's not get it twisted.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating, Brew. I didn't know that he went out to dinner with people who had the jab. That is very significant. Thank you for saying that. Let's get Giuseppe's. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts on what you just learned about Fetcho and going out to dinner with like that?
You should probably mute Skype or one of them because you have a funky little slapback going on. What
he's
I think
in the
is
wind.
No. That was Brew. Scorpio had.
No. You're right. Thank you. I did. Thank you.
Well, my thoughts are that's exactly how this is rolling out, and some really studied. Big brains, Dr. Vernon Coleman, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Mike Yeardon, the former chief technology officer for Pfizer Europe, all of them are freaked out at the potential transmission from the lungs. So this is not good.
Is there a possibility of pheromonal transmission that's being used, like the human body's being a delivery system of this type of virus or whatever, this mutant virus that's being created in the body from the vaccine?
Well, pheromones evaporate from the skin. The skin is the largest organ in the human body. I would think that would be a secondary possibility, but the primary distribution is exhaled breath.
I was thinking like the breastfeeding and stuff. You hear things of
that. You know, kids, well, yeah. I mean, that's a direct transfer to children. That's proven that. I don't know if you saw the story about a week ago where a mother was breastfeeding who had gotten the vaccine, and she essentially murdered her 5-month-old baby with a deadly blood clot that hit the kid's brain, or the kid died. The newborn died.
Well, as we learned, you know, breastfeeding is good. That's why they've tried this campaign where they're trying to get mothers not to breastfeed and get them on goat's milk, soy milk, all this other kind of garbage. So breastfeeding is good because the mother transmits her immune protectors, whatever, to their child. Well, the same thing. Now that the woman's got the jab, she's got all these things in her that she's now breastfeeding to the child. So it totally makes sense. Let me rewind a little bit. You know, with the whole flow, the women's menstrual cycle, we as men heard, maybe perhaps you haven't or haven't, that groups of women that live together or around each other a lot, they end up, their menstrual cycles end up syncing up. We hear this part, but we've never heard of a woman on menopause getting her cycle with or without the jab.
Good point.
Good stuff.
Well, to me, can I jump in for a second? The perfect historical example of how these shitheads don't know what they're doing when it comes to genetic modification, it goes back to Roundup Ready. Roundup assured, Monsanto assured everyone, oh, we have this lockdown. We understand the technology. We understand there'll be no horizontal drift. None of the weeds will ever... we'll just kill the weeds. Well, within a few years, 26 weeds had already grabbed that genetically modified piece, adapted it, and there were then 26 weeds that were now Roundup resistant. So that's when they had to go from using glyphosate Roundup to using 2,4-D, which is Agent Orange, insanely enough. That didn't work. And so then they went to dicamba, which is 200 times more toxic than, and so this is what we're seeing. They have no idea what's actually happening by hardwiring the genetics of a person with a piece of synthetic messenger RNA. Right. This is just pure insanity, pure satanic insanity.
Right. But it looks like nature has triumphed, right? In each attempt to defeat the weeds, nature has come back stronger by making the necessary adaptation.
Exactly right.
Right. Yeah. So we may have hope, even if you have taken the vaccine. No need pray.
Trying to patent nature too, like this nature they're distorting and mutating. They're trying to patent this shit, and then they're going to charge us for these type of intellectual property breaches.
Oh, it's
like
too late. With the Monsanto, it's too late, court. Chris. It's too late. I'm sorry, Chris. It's too late. They already have. Listen, if you've taken it, if you've taken this lever, they've altered your DNA. They own you. They own that DNA inside you.
And ruled by the Supreme Court, the imaginary Supreme Court of the United States ruled in their favor that now that their technology is in you, they actually own your DNA. But yes. Let's reflect.
Yes,
I remember
sir.
A few years ago, we were talking about Ancestry.com and those other places that said, send us your DNA sample. We'll give you your bloodline, your heritage. We'll tell you where you're from. And then, you know, among other things. Well, basically what we were learning in the fine print, you send them your DNA, they own your DNA once you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Losing an illusion makes you wiser finding the truth.
And it wasn't just that, because your DNA related to your mother, your father, your siblings, or your even your children, they would actually be able to own their DNA as well. That's a real caveat.
And the purpose of this is to construct a database that they could use to make targeted weaponry, medicines to attack the population at will, whatever segment they want to attack, right? The individual or group.
It's willing. Acquiescing.
Haplo-targeting.
Yeah. Haplo. Yeah, the haplo. Yeah.
6 feet apart, but...
When I talk about that Ancestry.com and those other ones, you remember the reports we were getting back when they were trying, they were really trying to fake people out and psyop them by saying, oh, you're 80% African. And they were throwing all these garbage results in them, so people would think they were like black and be like, oh my gosh, I better be nicer.
Hey, Chicago brother. Hey, man. always bet on black, man.
Hey,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago, you brought up some really important points in that call Excellent, excellent. Thank you for calling in, man. I really appreciate it. We're coming down just to like the last 5 minutes or so of the show, and I want to give everybody on the roundtable a chance for some final thoughts. So maybe why don't we start with Mike Gatti? Mike, what are your final thoughts for us today?
Well, I tell you what, guys, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. You know, I usually try to tune in and listen to your program on Saturday. And, of course, I was enthralled with Mechanic and his explanations of, you know, contrails and other things, which I have been following for years. And I think that probably this is a format that we should probably, as hosts, should probably pursue on a more frequent basis. The exchange of information here is just beyond belief. And thank you for allowing me to be on it.
Thank you, Mike. And I think you're right. You know, I'm going to try to have maybe one show a month or every 6 weeks to be a format like this, because we've had so many great viewpoints for today. Mechanic, why don't you go next, man? Final thoughts, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate the flowers, Mikey. you know, I just like to get to it. I don't like to slack. A lollygag to first base has never been my style. Everybody just needs to wake up to this, and it's going to be at their own pace. You can't force this awakening on people. I'm learning it the hard way. I'm trying to reach people I give an F about, and it's just getting increasingly more difficult. And so, again, I'm becoming callous, and I got my own mission. I got bigger plans. I'm not done by any means. And I'm in this for the long haul, like everybody else here is. And we're here to share, be a source of information that you can depend on. Revolution.radio, freedomsips.com. And I'm happy to be a part of it. Scorpio, thanks for having me on the show. Giuseppe, always good to be here. Chris, hard hitting. I like your style, Chief.
Hey, and, brother. Yeah,
ain't away.
Yeah, good. I do too.
And Kathy, you are.
Hey, guys. Well, I
call myself a constitutionalist. You get on the air. I feel like I'm just a little schoolboy. All right. I'll see you guys.
A great call, man. Thank you for coming on, Mechanic. Great stuff as always. 808, what are your final thoughts, sir?
I just want to echo the sentiments of Mike Gatti and Mechanic, and I really appreciate you guys opening up the format, expanding it to have callers come in. And I think that's a nice treat if you can do it every 6 weeks. And I had a fun time being here. And I like to plug the state.
Everyone's voice, man.
We are freedomslips.com, also known as Revolution Radio. And I'd like to remind the listeners that we are 100% listener supported. So please go over to the homepage and donate via Patreon or snail mail down at the bottom of the splash page. Thank you very much.
Right on. Okay, Chris, final thoughts, sir.
Really not many. I got to save them up for later, but great to be on the panel. It was truly awesome. And thanks for hosting this chat. I think you should maybe consider doing it more often.
Yeah. Giuseppe, we'll do. Giuseppe, final thoughts, sir.
Well, my final thoughts are Mechanic's right. You have to run every at bat out. Don't lollygag. And I'd like to point out that a much preferred real medical system, my medical system, traditional Chinese medicine, 6,000 years old, is the perfect triangle of body, mind, and spirit. And the best way you're going to defeat these bizarre bioweapons is keep your immune function strong, keep your mind clear, and channel your energy. Like I said, start doing Tai Chi and Qigong every day, and that combination will give you the best chance to survive this oy vey, a Holocaust, another one
that we created.
Yep.
Hey, I got a request, guys. Silly me, I didn't write down the name of Friday's guest. I want to do some more research. What was his name again? On the perfect triangle.
Hey, I'll add you as a friend, 808, and I'll send you his links.
Oh, great.
Great. Okay, that's it. Three hours went by fast. Bada-bing, bada-boom. We're done. Thanks to everyone for listening, and thanks for everybody that came on the panel. Until next week, take care. Bye.